Good morning. It's nice to see you all. We're here gathered together to worship the Lord, and we're here to encourage one another as we see the day of the Lord approaching, and we're here to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. I have a couple announcements. The first announcement is regarding Mike Klein and Les Postma. They're both home, both doing well, and very happy to be home. Our offering today is for Mitch Senti, and your contributions can be received as you go out the door. Also, we have our congregational meeting July 27th at 7 p.m. for the election of officers. There'll be an election for an elder, an election for a deacon. We have three men willing to stand to be elder, and two willing to serve as deacon. And if you would like, there are ballots in the back at the table, and you may fill in that ballot, and you can put it in the offering either this week or next week. And if you are comfortable, you're welcome to attend the meeting on Monday at 7 p.m. Our call to worship, let's please stand. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Thank you.
from Proverbs chapter 2. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you that you are merciful and gracious. We thank you that your mercy is just, that your grace is sufficient, and that we who are your people are free to come into your presence and pour out our hearts. We ask that we would be faithful in confessing our sin, knowing that you have promised that if we confess, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We ask, Lord, that we would be those who would be grateful that you do not mark iniquity because of the work of Jesus Christ. We thank you that our iniquity and sin is cast far from us, as far as the east is from the west, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of your Son. We thank you and praise you, Father, that your Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and leads us into truth. We ask that your Spirit would also teach us to glorify your Son in all that we do and say. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Also from Psalm 130, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
Thank you.
bow in a word of prayer. Our Father and God, we thank you that we have access to your throne of grace, that we may come before you with our prayers, petitions, and tell you what's on our mind. We ask that we would come with praise upon our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts, that we would be those who would understand that our joy is rooted because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Father, that you have made us priests and kings, and that when we speak your word into other people's lives, that we are doing the work of a prophet. We thank you and praise you, Father, that you are pleased to use us as broken as we are. As we consider this privilege that you have given to us, Father, we ask that we would intercede for those that make decisions that affect millions of people, that we would be those who would bring our concerns for our communities, for our county, our state, our nation, and the world before your throne of grace. May we understand that we can do more on our knees than we could do in any other way. We ask that we would be those who would rest in you, knowing that you do all things for your glory and after the counsel of your own will and for the church's benefit and each individual Christian's benefit. We ask, Lord, that we would understand these things and that we would relax, knowing that you are faithfully, by your Spirit, conforming us to the image of your Son. We ask that you would give us a burden for those who are outside of Christ, for those who remain dead in their trespasses and sins. We ask that you would give us an urgency, knowing that each man, woman, and child will one day stand before you and give an answer, even for the very words that they say. We know, Father, that the secret things will one day be shouted from the housetop. So we ask, Lord, that we ourselves would manifest the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. We ask that as a people, we would understand that we live as pilgrims and sojourners, and that our citizenship is in heaven. So we ask that we would also intercede for our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are suffering because they live as members of the kingdom of God, and the world hates them as they hated their king. We ask, Lord, as we meditate upon your word this day, that we would learn to order our thoughts and to view things as you see them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 49. And it's a matter of interest that this psalm was written by David, and it's a microcosm of the book of Ecclesiastes, which was written by his son Solomon. The subject matter of this psalm and the subject matter of Ecclesiastes is the same. But this is a song, and the song of and Ecclesiastes is prose. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. That he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their prosperity who approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. Selah. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. This psalm is addressed to all men. Not all psalms are. Some psalms are only addressed to God's people. Similar to some of the books in the scriptures, all of Paul's letters are written to churches or individual Christians. They're not written to unbelievers. The book of Revelation is not written to unbelievers. It's written to seven churches in Asia. As a matter of fact, the Gospels, you can argue that most of the Gospels are written to the church. Major exception being the Gospel of John, which is written to the reader. So we need to listen to this psalmist. And the psalmist is playing upon his harp. And this is a very serious song. Not all songs are serious. But this is a song that needs to be heard. And it's addressed to those who are high and those who are low. Those who are rich and those who are poor. That's all men. This is a serious topic. And we need to pay attention. For it affects each one of us, and it affects each one of your family. It affects everyone you know. It's serious. The psalmist is going to speak wisdom. And this wisdom comes as a matter of meditation. Have you ever gone to, let's say, a Mariners game, 40,000 people in the stands, and have you ever wondered about their souls? Have you ever gone to a parade? Hundreds of people, maybe thousands in the parade. Have you ever asked yourself, I wonder about their souls? What do you see when you see a mass of people gathered together? You see individuals who are going to live for eternity. They're either going to live in eternity in torment, or they're going to live eternity in bliss. That's what you see. And the psalmist is very concerned that we understand this. He begins the thought process. He begins to ask the question, why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? It's a good question. It's a good question. Fear is a terrible thing. It causes you to do things that you would never do, except that you're fearful and aren't thinking. Fear is awful. It is the strongest emotion that I know of, except for love. Love is the greatest emotion. As a matter of fact, the New Testament tells us that love covers multitudes of sin. If you love somebody, you won't see their sin. Or if you do see it, you give it to Christ and let Him worry about it. Love is a powerful, but fear is just underneath it. And the psalmist says, why should I fear when evil days come? When men who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. During the last 3 months or so, during this pandemic, there are two men who have been noted by people who are paying attention, and one of them is Bill Gates and his agenda. And he's very involved in looking for a vaccine, and some of the things he has done are wicked and evil. He's going to die one day. And this psalm is addressed to us in regard to him. It's also addressed to him. I got a letter from an elementary school classmate who's a Buddhist. And in his letter, he said to me, we need to pray. And he listed various religions and said that if we all gathered together to pray, we can make this world a better place. I wrote him back. I can't resist that kind of letter. This world will never be a better place. I don't care what we do. We cannot make this world a better place. This world must be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth made. But you and I, because we are believers and members of that kingdom of heaven which is eternal, we may influence this world and hopefully influence individuals who will be transformed from death unto life. We need not fear. We need not fear people because of their riches. We need not fear people because they cannot redeem anybody. The world has a funny view of this life. You heard about the two grave diggers that dug a grave that was 8 feet deep and 25 feet long and 8 feet wide, and they couldn't understand why the grave was so big. So they hung around and waited for the funeral. And the funeral came, and on the back of this trailer was a big Cadillac. And in the Cadillac in the driver's seat was the deceased. And in the Cadillac, got laid into the grave, and one grave digger said to the other, man, that's living. What's your perspective? What do you see? No man can redeem another. The psalmist reminds us
No amount of wealth can redeem a soul. You cannot bribe God. You cannot circumvent God's rule. And the man who has great wealth cannot avoid death. Cannot. And when they're laid in the grave, they're laid in the grave and they're from dust, and they will return to dust. What impresses you when artifacts from the Egyptian tombs come out and they see all this gold and all this stuff? National Geographic had this huge article about, probably mispronounced his name, Tutankhamun. His grave was opened up and out came all this gold. I can remember thinking, the guy's dead, who cares? Who cares? He's dead. And the psalmist is concerned. The wise men die. The foolish die. The senseless die. Everybody dies. Is that your perspective as you walk through life? That the person on the other side of the counter at the grocery checkout has an eternity in front of them? Is that your perspective when you wrangle with your neighbor about the fence line? What is your perspective about that person that you're talking with? They, as you, have an eternity in front of them. And God is going to hold us accountable. We're told in the New Testament that every idle word is going to be judged. We're told that God is going to make the secret things in our hearts announced from the rooftop. When I was in Wyoming, there was a minister and his wife. And his wife was one of the most transparent people you ever met. And one day, I forget who, I don't think it was me, but somebody else said to her, "Why are you so transparent?" And she said, "Oh, because it's going to be less painful when God makes an announcement." And I thought, whoa, she understands that concept that the very secret things of your heart are going to be announced to the world. Isn't it better to keep a pure heart than to look forward to that embarrassment? The psalmist is concerned that these people, they live, they endure, and they die. And these people in this life may have had lands. It's one of the things I think is interesting about traveling around and looking at archaeological and historical buildings. Real people live there, and they're all dead. And it helps me to remember that one day, I too will inhabit a grave. Because when you walk into Bishop White's house in Philadelphia, and you see how he lived, and he had what we would consider to be outhouses, but he had them just off the kitchen, and you think, ugh, yuck. And you think, but he didn't know any better. You and I live later, we know better, but as he's dead, guess what? You will be dead too. All those nice improvements that technology has done, they've given us nothing that's going to prevent us from dying. Nothing. Have you ever had a discussion with your doctor about death? I do, every time the doctor cares to discuss it. The psalmist here wants us to get this perspective. And he says, people, in spite of their wealth, in spite of who we are as humans, are just like the animals in that we die. We die. This is the consequence of people who trust in themselves. People who trust in themselves and they think that they control their life. You do realize when you board a plane that you've got no control over anything on that plane. Nothing. I like to remind people when they're on a plane that they're in a tube of aluminum that's maybe 4 inches wide. What is your perspective? People, humans, we're like sheep. We're like sheep. Why are we like sheep? Well, we know that as Christians, we say all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ. But the world, they're like sheep too, except they don't have a good shepherd. They don't have the shepherd that leads them by still waters. They don't have the shepherd that feeds them. They don't have the shepherd that's going to provide for them a house to dwell in for eternity. But they're sheep. Why do you think so many people reacted the way they did in March when somebody yelled fire in the medical world? We're sheep. And that's what we do. We don't follow necessarily anybody who's any worth following. Christ is the only one worth following. And people will decay. I remember walking through the catacombs outside of Rome. It was fascinating, but yeah, it was disgusting. Because in the catacombs, you have these open graves. And a body's in this hole, body's in that hole, and a body's in that hole. And those bodies once were humans, like me. Like you. And it's very instructive to walk through there and keep in mind that some of those bodies were believers like you and I, and to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But I haven't a clue which one is one of those. Not a clue. I don't have a clue about anybody else. But I do have a clue about the end of their body. It's in the grave. But God will redeem us from the realm of the dead. This is the message that you and I have for the world. This is the good news. This is that which all men want. Did you ever wonder why every false religion has a concept of life after death? They all do. Do you know why? God has placed eternity in man's heart. That's part of being created in the image and likeness of God. All men have eternity in their heart. They have some concept that this life is not the end. And you and I have the good news. And the good news is that God is able to redeem from the dead. And God will take us to himself. What a message to give. It's a message that Bill Gates needs. It's a message that the guy on death row in Texas needs, and everybody in between. They all need this message that God is able to redeem from death. And you and I, we understand that. We know the gospel. We understand that Jesus Christ came and that Jesus Christ obeyed the law. He took the penalty of the law. And therefore, when I die and when you die, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that message needs to be given to Bill Gates, George Soros, Donald Trump, all of those candidates for governor, the 35 of them. We need to give the gospel to all of these people that God is able to redeem from the dead. So we don't have to become overawed. You are the servant of the King of Kings. And if the servant of the King of Kings is called to bear the gospel to Donald Trump, your knees shouldn't shake. You should be like David. Remember David going in front of Goliath? I come in the name of Jehovah. That's the way you should go. You go in the name of Jesus Christ. You are his ambassador. You are carrying this precious seed of the gospel. And as we go, you can't be overawed by this world. You can't go into a situation and go, wow. Do you remember? Maybe you never saw the movie, but Hoosiers. This Hicktown basketball team went to this basketball game in Indianapolis, and they were overwhelmed, and the coach took a tape measure, and he measured from the end line to the foul line. And then he measured from the floor to the tip of the basket, and he said, the basketball court here is exactly like our basketball court in our gym. Is that your view? Your house is no different than Bill Gates' house. It is a product of this world. It will not survive God's judgment. Your house is fuel for the fire, and so is his. He has an eternal soul, and so do you. You do not have to be overawed by this. You need to understand that you go with the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you have a message that has eternal consequences. The wicked may count themselves blessed in this world, and they may be. They may be. The scriptures are full of warning to us. And the warning is, don't look at the wicked and how they prosper in this life. Remember their destiny. We understand something. And we must have this perspective if we're going to be effective witnesses and ambassadors of the King of Kings. We must understand. And in my letter to my Buddhist classmate, I said to him, a century from now, all the players on the world stage will not be here. They'll be gone. They'll all be gone. They will all now be in a position where they have to answer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll all be gone. Your family, be gone. We need to get a grip on what the consequences of the gospel are, and we need to understand that this message is for all men, rich, poor, low, high. And we get to be instruments of God's grace. What a privilege you have. It's a high calling. What would you think if Donald Trump came into your living room and said, you know, what's your favorite country? What country would you like to visit? You're a Dutchman. Would you like to go to the Netherlands? I'll tell you what. You can be the United States ambassador to the Netherlands. Would you like to do that? You would probably think it was a great honor. Why then don't you think it's a great honor to be an ambassador of the King of Kings in the area that you serve? You are an ambassador of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is reigning now and forever. The psalmist continues, and he says, people with wealth lack understanding. Do you remember the rich man? Young man, he came to the Lord. What must I do to have eternal life? That's a good question. And Jesus says, well, you know, keep the commandments. Oh, I've done that. And he recites the bottom five. And Jesus then goes, well, I'll tell you what. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the young man turns around and walks away. Why? Because he didn't have any understanding. He valued this life more than he valued eternity. Do you remember Jesus saying to those who were listening, what would a man give for his own soul? What price would you put on your soul? The psalmist has already told us that you can't buy your soul. It's not, there's no price on it except the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is the price of your soul. And that's the only price. There is no other price. What's your perspective? And people who do not have understanding are just like the beast. What a sad commentary on humanity. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. Every human being, by God's mercy and grace, is able to commune with their Creator and Redeemer. Every human being can enjoy life eternal if they live as the one who is created in the image and likeness of God by creation and by redemption is conformed to the image of Christ. What a high calling you all have. What an honorable place God has placed you in. Do you understand this? Do you revel in your position in Christ? Do you look forward to the time when you'll see him as he is because you will be like him? And then do you carry this message with joy to all of those people who are living like beasts? What a high calling we have. But in order to understand this, we need to get a right perspective. We need to see who we are in Christ. We need to see what life is about. Do you remember that movie? I think it was Alfie. The song that goes, what's it all about? And I sat there and watched that and I go, I know what it's about. Whoever wrote the movie didn't. But I do. And you should. What's it about? It's not about acquiring all this stuff. It's about preparing for eternity. It's about living. Remember, Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I came to give you abundant life. Life is not just enjoying a picnic with my family, or fishing on the Fraser River, or parachuting out of a plane, or bungee jumping off a dam. It's not that. Life is far more than that. Life is about living in eternity with a redeemed body, where no more death, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more tears. None of that. What's your perspective? What do you see when you look at your world? What do you see when you go to a Mariners game and you see 40,000 other people? What do you see? What do you see in that newborn baby? I see somebody that needs the gospel, do you? What do you see about that person who's laid up with Alzheimer's disease? What do you see? I see somebody that needs the gospel. Do you? We need to get a right perspective. And the psalmist, remember, he says, my mouth speaks words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. Meditate on this psalm. Meditate on it. Remember, it's a song. It's a very wise song. It's a sober song. And it will produce the right perspective. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you for that which you have revealed to us. We thank you, Father, that in your great love, you not only revealed these things to us, but that you sent your Son, who is the Word of God, and who is the one who took upon himself the form of a man, that he would conquer sin, death, the devil, and that one day the devil, sin, and death will all be cast into the abyss. We ask, Lord, that we would have this right perspective, and that we would meditate upon these things, and that we would be joyful and give you thanks. For you love us with an everlasting love, as you demonstrated at the cross of your Son. We ask that this congregation would become light and salt in this community, and that each one of us would learn to speak the truth in love, and that each one of us, when we talk, would give grace to the hearer. We thank you, Father, for this message that you have given to us, and we ask that we would not hide it, be embarrassed by it, or that we would be fearful, but that we would understand that you have called us to be those who bear witness of your mercy, of your grace, of your compassion, all demonstrated in the person of your Son. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit who equips us to do all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would stand to sing hymn number, It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you.
Peace to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.